You're listening to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, produced by The Banyan Collective. Find more mind-blowing podcasts at thebanyancollective.com and on iTunes. The Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, adventure for your ears.
You haven't lived until you've heard the show Americans are talking about. The show that launches its listeners to the height of humanity. The audio hour that travels the landscape of adventure. The sound that comforts more than the clip of your first bolt. It's the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show!
Adventure summits the airwaves. This is the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. I'm your host, R. Brand, along on belay with you for the next about 40 minutes. By my side is the best co-host in all the land, Todd at the Top. All right, so this week we have an interview with Xterra Racer. That is this weekend. Will Kelsey, is that correct, Will?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, we'll chat with him in just a minute. Yes, the 2018 Xterra Pan Am Championship is up at Snow Basin. Tell you all the information about that, and including who brought it to Ogden. We know him. I don't know if you know this. We'll give you some on the docket. Blues, Brews, and Barbecue is still going. Utah Avalanche Center fundraiser, a yoga fest. There's Xterra this weekend, and there's a Park City Trail Series, edible and medicinal plants of the Uintas Herb Walk.
We talked about that. Yep. I don't think that they're into the herb that...
The Basin Beer Fest is coming up. And then we have some news, including a side effect from a less snow... in the Grand Canyon, and we tell you what that means. There's a Riggs fire that's burning and affecting one of our national parks in Utah. A local skier is facing felony theft charges, and probably everyone knows the story already. Amherst Sports has put a bid out to buy, or Chinese companies put a bid out to buy Amherst Sports. A cougar attack is suspected in the death of an Oregon hiker, and China is going to build the largest indoor ski resort. Also, we'll give you something worth watching, something worth reading. Gear 30 segment, quote of the week, Outdoor Jukebox. All this and more on the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, episode 316, Xterra. So let's charge.
He summits with the agility of a mountain goat, flashes routes faster than UPS, is more intimate in the mountains than Jake Gyllenhaal. He's Todd to the Top.
I don't know if you can see this, Todders.
It's playing.
This is the weekly Happy, a Corvair car racing Stein Erickson in Aspen, which is really cool. Yeah, you got to watch. This is worth watching because you actually have to watch it to enjoy it.
Good looking man.
I love watching stuff like this. If you guys ever tune into Top Gear, it's now
Top Gear's fantastic. Yeah,
the Grand Tour with those guys. It's stuff like this.
It has independent suspension. The engine is in the back of the Corvair.
Oh, that's going to make for great handling on the ski slopes.
I tell you what, especially in Aspen. Yeah.
That is a sharp-tread skier. It really is.
It's pretty sweet. Anyway, this is our weekly happy. I love the throwbacks, or worth watching. Just search Corvair Racing Stein Erickson down in Aspen. It's on YouTube. You can check it out. It's a commercial, an advertisement, obviously, for Corvair.
I gotta say,
for
shooting this back in the day, those are some pretty good camera shots there.
They really are. It's
no drones back then.
Yeah, there were no drones. I don't think GoPro had been quite invented yet.
He even jumps the car here at the end. If you thought that was cool, like just happened a few years ago, they were jumping Corvairs, all right, way back when. So,
good find.
All of our Facebook Live watchers are like, what are you watching? But just wanted to throw that out there. All right, this weekend is the 2018 Xterra Pan American Championship up at Snow Basin and Trail Run National Championships presented by the Utah Sports Commission and Paul Mitchell. Partners include Gatorade Endurance, Suunto, Go Foundation right here in Ogden. Is it UFOS? Shoes?
Yeah, flip-flops.
Flip-flops.
Sandals, yeah.
Maui Visitors Bureau and Hawaii Tourism Authority, as well as the U.S. Forest Service. So,
some good sponsors.
Yeah, everyone come out to that. Now, Xterra was brought to Ogden in 2004 by whom? Todd? No?
Don't look over here.
Ogden Mayor Mike Caldwell. So, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. been enjoying it. And we have Will here with us, Will Kelsey, and for almost every single year since, so 2006, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, I started coming out here in 2006. So I missed those first couple of years, but, and then there was that one year I did get hit by the truck. I didn't make it that year.
Wait a minute, what?
There's always something. Excuses.
Yeah, that stopped you? What? How does that stop
you? Apparently when you get hit by a truck, it happened to me back in 2013, you know, kind of broke everything.
So these are the stories I always like to hear, is the adventurer that hurts themselves in, like, probably
not
like,
in the race,
not right?
non-adventurous, less than glamorous way, probably.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was just riding to the pool one morning. He saw me, I saw him. He's like, oh, I'll just turn anyway. And he turned in front of me and crunch. Mm. And you know, it's one of those things that I was actually pretty lucky. The bike went under the car, but I flew back 15 feet through the air the other way and landed. It only broke my femur and a bunch of ribs and all that stuff. So
did you damage the car at all?
I would like to think that I did, but no.
Okay. So racing Xterra in total since when?
I started this back in 2003.
Okay.
So I've been doing that, and then I went pro in 2005. So yeah. I've been doing this for a couple of years, and oh man, it's been so much fun.
So from 2003 to 2005, mm-hmm. the grind. Let's go back there. Like, did you know that you had it in you to go pro, or when did you finally?
That was the fun thing, is I was just finishing up college. You know, I've got my degree in mechanical engineering. I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to be at a desk job. And then some of my buddies who, Ryan Ignatz, he still races today. He's not going to be out here this year, but he's like, so when are you going pro? You know, you're getting your license? And I was like, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. That sounds kind of fun. I think I'll go do that. And it's just ever since then, hooked and done. So it was a couple of years of racing age group and really just busting my butt going to any and every race that I could to get my qualifying standards. And then in 2005, I made it and haven't looked back.
So this weekend, there'll be a bunch of age groupers racing alongside with you, essentially. It's the same course, right?
Yes.
Is it shorter at all?
No. That's one of the fun things about Xterra is that there is a different wave start. So the pros will start just a little bit in front of the age groupers. But no, age groupers will race the exact same race that the pros are racing.
And then how many times does an age grouper come in front of a pro?
Oh, it happens all the time. I won't say all the time, but there are age groupers that sneak up there into the top 20, top 15. And usually what happens is they'll do that one, maybe 2 years, and then we see them in the pro field.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, so what's the percentage? So these age groupers racing this weekend, like, how likely is it for them to make the leap, I guess? What do they call that in baseball when you go up to the big leagues?
I think they go up to the big leagues.
Is that what it's called? that's pretty much what you call
it. The big show or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. The big show, yeah.
Yeah, with off-road triathlon, you'll definitely see there's specific qualifying races. And this is one of those races that any of the age groupers who finish, like, you know, up in the top I think it's the top three of the age group, and they have to be like within 8% of the winner's time. They then qualify to get their pro license. Mm. And so we'll see them most likely racing in the pro field next year or the year after.
So Xterra is in its 23rd year, 15th year in Utah, and it spans, the championship spans South Central America, Mexico, the Caribbean, Canada, and the U.S. Now, do you travel to all these places to race?
This year, I stuck to more of a just American tour for me. Okay. So I was just in the U.S., but I know a lot of the guys. You look at Kieran McPherson, Karsten Madsen, Josiah Middow, Brandon Rakita. These are all the top guys in the Pro Series. Yep, they went all the way from Canada down to Argentina and Chile. You know, all season long, they've been going North and South America, racing everywhere in between.
So where have you raced outside of the U.S.?
Last year for me, I did the Asia Pacific champion or whole series there. And so I did five races, Saipan, Thailand, Malaysia. I didn't make it down to Australia and New Zealand, but those were included as well. But I've raced in 23 different countries. So I've raced all over the world in nearly every race that's out there.
Can you say like what your favorites?
Yeah. Oh yeah, hands down. It's so easy for me to pick Japan.
Snow base. Oh.
This is a fun one. I do have to say this is a fun one, but this is a lot of my weaknesses are in this
race.
It's
a grind. It's a tough course.
Yeah. It is just so steep, so much climbing. There's over 3,000 feet of climbing, but only 1,800 feet of descending. Mm. So you climb almost double what you get to descend. And for me, that's tough. You know, we're going to see guys like Bradley Weiss, Josiah Middaugh, and Mauricio Mendez. These guys they either live at altitude or they're really small and lightweight. They climb so well. I mean, I'm a big fat dude at 6'3", 170 pounds. Like horrible. I don't go uphill really well.
So Japan though, right?
Oh, Japan was amazing. You're way, way, way up in the mountains up above Tokyo and, you know, like at the ski resorts, and it's at this lodge where this is where Japanese people go to get the traditional Japanese experience. And we're way off in the woods. There's nothing around. You're riding through bamboo forest. It's ultra technical. And it was a really fun course because it's calm, clear waters, technical bike, and then you get out on the run and it's almost like an adventure run. Mm. It was so rough and gnarly, and that was one of those things. I was racing the 7-time world champ, Conrad Stoltz, who has won here in Ogden.
Is he retired?
What's that?
Is he retired? What's he doing?
He did retire, and I believe it was 2015, okay. He retired. He now builds trails. He's got a couple of kids. He lives with his wife in South Africa, and he has his caveman cafe at one of the specialized bike shops. So you can go in, because he's totally, I mean, that's all endurance athletes are super into coffee. But he was definitely into that. But it was really fun in 11 getting to race Conrad. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, right when he was in his prime, he is one of, if not the best Xterra athlete to have ever been out there. And I was beating him. He outswam me, and then I outrode him, and I was outrunning him. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it came down to he had the experience that I didn't have. And this, when I talk about a technical bike course, you're so focused and twisting and turning and bumping and, you know, going around rocks and over roots and all of this stuff, you literally cannot take your hands off the bars for, it's an hour and a half bike ride, for maybe there's 20 minutes where you get a reprieve. You get this climb of just straight uphill for 20 minutes.
I like the reprieve is straight uphill for 20 minutes.
That's the easy part. Yeah. And he was really smart. You know, he took in a lot of nutrition. When you start doing these Xterras that take 2.5 hours just for the front, I mean, and you start looking at the age groupers, they're finishing in 3-4 hours. Nutrition plays a really big part.
Is that the key? I mean, there's training, but...
I wouldn't say, if you look at, say, Ironman, nutrition is a huge part of how your day goes. In off-road, it's a little bit less, but it is still really important. Mm. And I mean, you'd think I'd talk it up more because it cost me the race. Conrad fueled properly in that short little reprieve that we had. He took in a lot more nutrition than I did. And when it came down to right at the very end, I just kind of drained the tank, and he had just a little extra left because he had fueled properly out on the bike, and he got me, I think, by, it's like 30 seconds or a minute.
So there's no, or is there, I'm imagining there's no secret weapon or plan that you do. You just have to figure it out in your training or in racing over time. Is that right?
And that's a big thing, is you set up your training to be like racing. You simulate it as much as you can. So you want to learn it in training so that you don't have to try anything new on race day, because if it comes down to it, it's never fun to find out that something doesn't work. Or
so how much of this is discussed kind of between you guys before, after the race, between, you know,
giving training? Some secrets away?
That's one of the fun things that I like about Xterra. Is we'll totally talk to each other there's stuff that's like, I'm not going to quite tell everybody everything, but we're, most of us, we're all good.
You gotta
friends.
Pay a little extra for that.
We hang out. I mean, you know, look at
when you know you're going to beat them, you'll give them everything, right?
And I'm actually really curious, say like Josiah Middaugh. He is a coach and he runs Middaugh Coaching. He also coaches Brian Smith, who's from Gunnison, Colorado. Brian's going to be out here today. Brian is an uber runner and mountain biker. This guy is really fast. So you've got Josiah coaching an athlete who could potentially beat him. Mm. So
that adds drama.
I'm like, I want to know what's the right. dynamic here. Is Josiah giving him like 99%, but he's not going to tell him that last one thing? You never quite know.
Student becomes the teacher.
Yes.
Or do you tell him everything, give him all the secrets because you want to go against the best that this person has to offer?
Yeah,
you know?
I have to say, whenever I'm coaching athletes and when I'm talking with my buddies, is I'll let them know everything, because really, to me, it means more showing up on the day and everyone has a good race. And then if I beat them, that means a whole lot more than if, you know, somebody has a flat or has a mechanical, which totally happens all mm-hmm. the time. That's normal. But it means a lot more when you know that everybody was racing at their best, and then we all ended up where we ended up, you know, as far
so
as placing.
The elites are racing for $80,000 in prize money, and I'm assuming that's spread out.
Yeah, so what it is $20,000 will be on the day, where you place on the day, first through 10th. And then $60,000 is for the tour championship. And that's why we see a lot of athletes coming up from South America, Central America, the Canadians are coming down, is this tour that's been going on since, I believe, March or April, is coming to a culmination this weekend. And there's $60,000 on the line that's spread out evenly between men and women for the championship series.
Which sounds like a lot of money, but it's when it's split out, and it's hard to make a great living doing that. Yeah,
it's tough. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of money, but when you really look at it, the top male and the top female get $10,000. Mm-hmm. And if you've been
traveling,
flying to Brazil, you know, all the way up to Toronto, down to, you know, we have to go to Costa Rica and the Dominican Republic. It's a rough one.
I'm sorry.
So most of you know this Xterra professional racer we were speaking with as Will Kelsey, but did you know he is also Mr. Xterra 2007? Yes.
That was a fun one.
Wearing the crown.
The crown fit funny because I had this big giant mohawk at the time. And that was back when I used to be cool.
When I used to be cool. Yeah. You got the business thing going now.
You know, apparently, if you drive around in this cool, busted down, broken RV with a mohawk, that's a total chick magnet.
Wait a minute. So this happened how long ago? 2007.
Yep.
Was that the RV tour as well?
That was my RV tour. In 2007, the year that I won Mr. Xterra, I did 12 races in 12 weeks around the country as I drove 12,000 miles. And put on 12 different clinics at Fleet Feet Sports around the country to teach people about off-road triathlon.
And can you believe this, Todd? He couldn't Instagram that. Oh. That was pre. Can you imagine the
pre Insta fame?
Yeah.
No, you want to know the crazy thing?
I don't think it happened.
I didn't even. This was even before like GPS was really a thing.
Oh yeah,
I did it with a paper map.
Oh yeah.
And that was. I don't know how I did that.
I was just talking to somebody recently about that, too, as far as some of these trips that we take these days. I don't think anything of it nowadays. Finding my way around. Oh, I was visiting Kansas City, and a little tricky in some areas. And, you know, GPS just second nature.
Uh-huh. You had to
back in the day, the Thomas maps or the AAA maps.
The big giant book.
Or if you're traveling alone, dealing with the maps while you're driving.
Yep.
That's much. I suppose to some degree it's probably a little safer with the GPS telling me which way to go nowadays. So,
you were just here last weekend or 2 weekends ago?
Last weekend
for an MC and some races.
Yeah, that's one of the other jobs that I have outside of racing. Is
look at you hustling. I love it.
Hustling. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick little plug for tryutah.com. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But that's one of the other series that I work for. And the Brian Mann Triathlon, there was a half. Or they call it the long course. There was Olympic distance and a sprint distance, and that was all last weekend, just down at the south end of Ogden. It was a blast. The athletes got to ride out onto Antelope Island, and we set up this like King of the Mountain arch. You know, it's the red and white polka dots up there. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
So this race this weekend is open to the public to watch. You can go up to Snow Basin.
Yes.
The elites will be coming in 11:20, 11:30.
Yeah, so with the race starting at 9 o'clock, based off of previous times, because it's a pretty similar course to all the last few years. You can anticipate the winner between 9:10 to 9:20 ish, around, or excuse me, 11:10 to 11:20. So it about two hours and 10 minutes to 2 hours and 30 minutes. It all kind of depends on the day, and that's one of the things that I love about off-road racing is. This is the exact same, or nearly exact same course that we raced last year, but I can tell you from having been out on it yesterday, the course is very different than it's been for any other year.
It's supposed to be hot, too.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. It's really dry and really dusty. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned there was one of the fires around here in the state earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, we can see and feel when there's you know how dry and hot it is. The air is different. All that dust coming up from the trail being so just blown out because there hasn't been any water to kind of keep it stable. So it's just there's dust and rocks everywhere.
If you were to like to describe like ideal conditions for a race like this, like dream location.
Yeah.
Is it like a high of 50 or something? Like,
temperature wise, cool, course wise, what would be ideal?
Temperature wise, you'd want probably like 60s, because if it gets too cold when you get out of the water, then you're freezing, because the water is usually, you know, I like the wetsuit because I'm not that strong of a swimmer, so I want cooler temperatures, so we get a wetsuit, but it can't be too cool because then you're cold out on the bike. I, being a bigger guy, I don't particularly like a lot of climbing. I don't do really well at the courses that just go straight uphill. Mm-hmm. So like my goal for Saturday is to aim for the top 10. I mean, we're going to have three world champions on the line. All of those guys are obviously gunning for the win, but I would love to see, you know, something, that has a little bit more technical riding, you know, so a little bit more rocks and roots and stuff like that.
I think because you came on the podcast, you're going to have a lucky day.
Yeah.
This is, you may just come in first. So who's second and third after you?
Oh, if I could get anywhere close to Bradley Weiss from South Africa, Mauricio Mendez from Mexico, and then Josiah Middow from Vail,
now,
Colorado.
You know Middow. Yeah. You recognize that name?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Don't I?
So his brother what was the name of the group that we had, the band that came to Ogden Nature Center, and we took him kayaking down the Weber?
Yes, I do.
That's his brother.
Now. Small World?
Breathe Owl Breathe. Is that right?
Yep.
Breathe Owl Breathe. It was the lead singer of that band. His brother, Josiah, who's 40 years old and still in peak. I mean, that's pretty awesome. It's the Tom Brady of Xterra is what that is right there.
that's one of the fun things I love, though, with off-road stuff is you look at, say, like 2010 Xterra World Champ was Shawnee Van Landingham, and she won when she was 41 years old, I think.
Oh, wow.
So you can, and Conrad kept racing, you know, until he was 43, 44. You don't have to be, you know, one of those just out of college 20-year-olds to be the top in the game.
So there's events all weekend. There's a packet pickup expo at the amphitheater on Friday. The expo goes all day. You can pick up your packets from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And there's kids events and all kinds of things. Saturday is the race. Then Sunday is the trail run event up at Snow Basin as well.
Yeah, yes. That is going to be really fun. I love that because they are going to do a similar course to what the bike course was for the half marathon that's up there. They're going to be running up Sardine Peak and then back down.
Yeah,
that is gonna hurt so bad.
He's laughing. That's gonna hurt.
Well, I'm gonna be along with she, you know, will be one of the top contenders, and my money is on her, Leslie Patterson.
Okay.
She and her husband run Braveheart Coaching. She's gonna be out there on Sunday doing the half marathon as well, and so she's my coach. So she's like, "All right, you're hopping in." So nice. Not only am I going to race on Saturday in the championship, but then have to go out and punish myself again on Sunday at that half marathon.
Yeah, back to back. That's tough.
Yeah.
So, do you have a prediction? Top three women.
Top three women. That's going to be a tough one. I do have to put my money on Leslie. I think she's a four-time world champ. She just won the ITU Cross Triathlon World Champs in Denmark back in July. She is just going really strong. So I put my money on number one. There is Susie Snyder has won here before, but Susie's been having some medical issues. So if she's on and it goes well, she could be right up there. Julie Baker is another one. Julie has been racing really well. She did great in Victoria back in July. I don't think Julie has, she'll be able to challenge Leslie up front, but I would put probably those, if I had to put money, Leslie, Julie, Susie.
That's it. Put your money on it right now. Take it to Vegas. All right. I know you got to run. Will, tell us a little bit of advice before you take off for all the racers on Saturday, especially the age groupers who maybe could use a little pro advice going into the race.
I would say two big things. I mentioned it earlier, nutrition. This is going to be a long race, and it's got a lot of climbing. Your nutrition is going to be key to finishing strong. You'll be okay on the swim. You won't start to notice it on the bike, but that run is going to start to wear on you that if you didn't fuel properly. So make sure you got your nutrition dialed in on the bike. And then the second one is along the same lines. It'll end up being a long race, so pace yourself, because there is a lot of climbing. And I know I've totally done it before. You come flying out of the water, you rip across the road, you hit Wheeler Canyon, and then you're just like redlining it all the way up Wheeler Canyon and East Canyon. You get a little bit of a descent, you get to Sardine Peak, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm gonna pedal squares up this thing. Mm. And getting up Sardine Peak, when you're tired is not fun. It's really easy to go out too hard. And then if you guys have seen this, right out of transition, it's just a kick to the nuts on the run. They send you straight up and you gain, I want to say it's like half to two thirds of the elevation on the run.
It's not like you're starting at low elevation either. You're up there.
So, yeah, we're up there at, what's Snow Basin at? That's at 70.
Six or seven?
Yeah, 72, something like that.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, you get to run basically a mile straight uphill, starting at 7,200 feet, something like that. It's rough.
And y'all do this for fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's been doing it for years fun. Yeah.
If you don't think we're having fun, come to the finish line. You watch everybody afterwards.
No,
we're all
it sounds
grabbing
like
a beer.
This is a family and friend reunion for you guys.
Oh, that is one of the things. There was one of the athletes that said this last year. It's like basically I'm hanging out with my friends and then we all race together.
Yeah.
And that's
you
is
let us
is.
Know where the after party is.
Yes.
We'll come join you for sure. We can hold our own in that side.
I think
of the
I know where it is, Todd. I got the insight on that. Yeah, that's actually a race that Lance Armstrong ran 4 or 5 years ago here at Snow Basin as well. So hang out at the finish line this weekend up at Snow Basin. It is finish lines of races are beautiful places to hang out and watch. There's
it
a lot
really
of emotion.
Is. The energy is amazing. Yeah.
Yep. And Snow Basin is a gorgeous mountain to hang out.
Now, what are the next times you're in town? We're going to get you in the van and we're just talking about van stuff.
Oh, I would love to do that. I am all about van life.
Let's do it. Thanks, Will. Appreciate it. I know you got to run.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thank you, sir. Absolutely.
On the docket. Well, that was awesome. 25th annual Utah Avalanche Center fundraising party is tonight in Salt Lake at the Black Diamond Store.
What do you know about that?
Not much, but I'm going to know a lot about it because I'll be down there. I guess I am
the
default MC. Yeah, whoever they had checked or had picked to MC the event bailed last minute. And so who do they call? They call
backup
Ogden.
Man.
They call Ogden. Yeah, Ogden and I'll.
Congrats,
also,
you'll have a blast.
So UNA has new beer that they are releasing for the event. And I think they're called they called it Hop Turn Pale Ale, which I kind of like Kick Turn because Kick Turn is a little more going up, but I get hop ties into butt. It's a better name with the beer.
Yeah.
Kick Turn maybe is a better name for backcountry. But so you'll be able to taste the Hop Turn from UNTA tonight, first time ever. They'll pour it out tonight for the event.
I'm telling you what, that's worth going just for that alone.
25th annual Utah Avalanche Center fundraising party. Again, Friday is the this weekend starting tomorrow is the Ogden Yoga Fest. I want to hit that because Gear 30 will have a booth there. That's Friday and Saturday. And then Friday is the Packet Pickup Expo, which you mentioned earlier at the Ogden Amphitheater Park. Goes all day. You can go out there and sort of stalk the Xterra pros and athletes if you want. And there's kids races, all kinds of stuff. Then Saturday, the Xterra Pan American Championships off-road triathlon up at Snow Basin. And Todd needs more sleep, it looks like.
Is it oxygen?
Is it oxygen? We have those bottles that you can like, if you're
I need to hit.
You need to hit.
That's all it is, yeah.
And then the Trail Run National Championship on Sunday. Dude, to do both back to back like Will's gonna do, impressive. That's no recovery time, that's for sure. And then the Park City Trail Series half marathon is on Saturday as well for those who are heading out of town or want to do that. Edible and medicinal plants of the Uinta Mountains, the Herb Walk is on the 16th. The Dawn Wall at Cinemark Tinseltown, the movie, is on the 19th of September.
Which
one
day
night
is that?
Only. 19th. Yeah. I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Because that will, it's possible that'll sell out. So you might want to grab your tickets. Painting in Nature. It's a little bit of like a plein air, kind of plein air. Plein air? How do you say
plein
that?
Air, plein air. Plein air.
Sort of a thing. Up at Snow Basin. That's on September 22nd. And they'll be, you know, throwing around the acrylics up there. 1 p.m. So that'll
Wednesday
be fun.
Night. We could maybe do Wednesday night.
Wednesday night is the Dawn Wall at the Cinemark. Oh, it auto-corrected to Kane Mark or something. No, it's the Cinemark.
What's Honnold's movie called? Free Solo? Free Solo? Is that what it's called?
Is
or
that,
something solo?
I thought it was Free Solo.
Free Solo. Anyway, that has been announced on down at the Broadway Theater in Salt Lake. They haven't given a date. Tickets aren't on sale yet, but we were one of the first cities to be posted, so I'm kind of stoked
like
about
it.
That. That's going to be one of those cringe-worthy films, at least knowing how it turns out, unless they fooled us this whole time.
It's not really Honnold who's there. I like how you said you'll be watching the Dawn Wall through your fingers.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I got to see it.
The annual, the traditional Mount Ogden hike, the Weber State University Mount Ogden hike, is on October 6th. It can start in multiple areas, including up at Snow Basin. And you make it hard. You can hike it from...
I wonder how long they've been doing that.
That's a good question. Why can't I think of whatever creek over there? What's the one that... It's like my favorite trailhead. Somebody help me out. I'm thinking Birch. That's not it.
Maybe it'll come.
Yeah. Snow Basin Beer Fest is back on October 7th. That's all you need to know. Just October 7th, we know where everyone's going to be.
I think that's a Sunday.
Is it a Sunday?
October 7th, you
October
say?
7th. Oh, I think so, because they have live music, including a, is it an Irish band? Yeah, Basin Beer Fest.
Young Dubliners or
something like big band, something yeah. like that, yeah. 15th
yeah,
annual.
The 7th.
Sunday the 7th.
I think we're going to be up there, I think.
And the best, one of the best, I think, outdoor gear sales and swaps of the year. That's Weber State University outdoor gear sale and swap. That means Gear 30 will be there. Weber Pride. Look at this.
Look at that Weber Rec. They were giving that away at the block party not too long ago.
Yeah. They're not giving away like equipment, but pretty much, because we'll have stand-up paddleboards. Usually second tracks, rec outlet, and then I think you can bring your own stuff. Check out the outdoor program for more information.
Part?
That's the whole swap part. Yeah. It's at the Bell Tower. Now, it's from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Yes, it's during your work hours. Why? It's because it's for the kids. It's for the students. Yeah, it's up there at the Bell Tower. But if you're a student, you just walk right through it. Like, oh my gosh, in between classes, check out all this sweet gear that we can buy. But anybody can go up there and buy stuff. You don't
take
have to be a student.
Take a long lunch break and just go check it out.
Yeah. Just plan it now. We're telling you now, October 10th. Go out there and do that. Also, the Labyrinth Canyon Canoe Trip is back. That's the one that I went on with my mom last year. Looks like they added a day, 18th through the 21st, which we burned through that thing in like 2 days. So I'm interested to see what their plans are, if it's a longer section or what they're thinking.
More relaxing?
Yeah, and we did cruise through it. And that wasn't necessarily on purpose. We sort of just missed the campsites.
You know, these things happen.
We did stop and play volleyball along the way, which is in the middle of a canyon.
See, maybe they're factoring in more volleyball time.
More volleyball, all the volleyball time, yeah. And then on the radar. Volkswagen presents Warren Miller's Face of Winter at Peary's Egyptian Theater, late October, October 23rd through the 25th. So put that on your calendar of to-do lists. Oh my gosh, so much stuff. So much stuff.
The season's coming out.
Okay, what did I put in here to... Oh, this was a... If you haven't seen... I think this will play. This is a video. Oh, let's check it out. This is for tonight's event right here.
2024.
Yeah, you can turn the mic. Yeah, I can't hear that.
These are great visuals, though.
This is Craig Gord of the Utah Avalanche Center. Pretending like he's making beer for tonight's event.
We're celebrating our 25-year partnership with you.
It's horrible and hilarious.
Using last year's Avalanche water, but not really.
Thursday, September 13th, 6 to 10 p.m., Black Diamond Parking Lot.
The music is epic.
Good year. You're going to want to get to this party early.
Find that beat. There it is. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That's their little quick commercial they did for tonight's event. So, yeah, there's that. In the
news.
No
pressure. No pressure.
You guys, everyone should go down. Come say hi to me. If you're from Ogden, come down and say hi to me. Love to see you because it would be a heavy Salt Lake crowd. So did have a couple of friends reach out and tell me they were going to be there. So very excited to see everyone tonight in Salt Lake. Less snow prompts a push to lengthen the Grand Canyon visit season. How about that? So you can actually spend more time down, which is a weird thing. But, yeah, the Grand Canyon North Rim tourism promoters see an opportunity to stretch out the visiting season at the less popular side of the canyon so more people experience it and spend money in the region. So if you want to go down there, good time to go. The Riggs Fire grows as it burns in Bryce Canyon National Park. This is according to KSL. Fire burning in parts of Bryce Canyon National Park and the Dixie National Forest has grown in size and reached an area where firefighters can now access it. Originally reported at 42 acres last week, the Riggs Fire has grown to 306 acres as of Monday, affecting Bryce Canyon. So if you plan to head down there, make sure to check out what's open, what's closed, if anything. If you haven't heard this story, it blew up a couple days ago. Shooting Gallery author Andrew McLean, I'm grabbing this off of unofficial networks, but it was all over the place. I mean, all over the place. Out of Park City, who faces, I believe, federal or felony charges for stealing hunting equipment there in the woods there behind Park City somewhere, along with, I think it's his wife, Polly McLean. Yeah, that's not good. Like, not good at all. So we'll follow, if you want to follow that story in the news. And they didn't like the hunters, apparently, so they were stealing their stuff. And you may disagree with what they're doing, but we just, you just don't go take their stuff. Don't damage it. I guess it's been a problem. I don't know, because I'm not in that scene necessarily, but I guess the hunters have been complaining about lost or damaged items. And these two were caught on a trail cam, very plainly caught, and they are busted. And then
just
Polly,
assume that whatever you do these days, there's going to be a
there's
camera
a camera.
On you.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And it's not like, well, I have a story about China right here. In China, there's cameras on the people, like everywhere. And this is just drones and GoPros and trail cams. I mean, they really are. They're everywhere. So, okay, yeah. So there's a Chinese firm. This is big news, actually, huge news. So everyone knows and loves Amer Sports here in Ogden. We carry a lot of their stuff, Salomon gear, Arc'teryx gear as well. A lot of people, you know, we like to shop over there as well. A Chinese firm, according to unofficial networks, has put out $5 billion offer on the table to buy Amer Sports, the maker of Salomon Atomic skis. That is a, whew, man, that's a lot of money. That's a hard one to be like, nah, we'll pass, you know, like, I don't know that world, if that's a low offer, a high offer. It sounds like an enormous, $5.5 or $5 billion is an enormous offer. So why would they be doing this? Well, analysts pointed out that with Beijing getting set to host the 2020 Olympic Winter Games, more in China would like to own some of these outdoor companies and be able to host them and say that they own them there. In so anyway, so there's that. See what happens. And I don't know, you know, should the Chinese firm buy it, if anything would happen to Amer here in Ogden, that's all way down the line. But it's an interesting
those are the things you always hope, though, is that if these companies do get purchased out, that they more or less
leave everything alone,
leave it the way it is. Yeah.
And then a cougar attack was suspected in the death of an Oregon hiker.
I heard that was the first time in Oregon's history that this has happened. As far as death by
cougar.
Cougar, yeah.
And we're talking mountain lion, folks. Diana Bobber, 55, was found at the edge of the Hunchback Trail after she went missing on a hike that she embarked on October 29th. Her out-of-state family reported her missing after they failed to contact her. It was determined that she died of an apparent animal attack. We're waiting for final confirmation on what type of animal was responsible for this attack. So maybe it was a really large wolverine or something. I don't know. But or a cougar, mountain lion. This is according to Snowbrains. It would be, you're right, Todd, the first of its kind in Oregon. There's an estimated 6,600 cougars in the state. Authorities are currently attempting to locate the animal and see if, that's, you know, you always do try to hike with a partner, though, if you can.
Oh, so yeah, it's
for safety reasons.
That's true. I would like, you know, I would be interested in following up on that story. If they get more details as far as, was it a mountain lion and maybe why? I'll bet there's a why.
A hungry hunger or something, maybe driven from
just such an unusual
its home from fires. I mean, it could be like stress. Stressed out.
Stress eating?
Yeah, stress eating.
That's horrible. I'm sorry.
Also out of China, the world's largest indoor ski resort will open in Shanghai. So if you want to go skiing indoors, the biggest indoor ski resort in the world. Sounds cool, but I'll just stay here up at Snow Basin and Powder Mountain. Thanks. Now, I saved this story for you, Todd. This was something I thought you would enjoy.
We'll see.
Okay. Surfboards made out of used whiskey casks.
Oh, see, I like this.
I don't think you... Have you surfed before?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you drink whiskey?
Enough?
Yeah.
To appreciate this, that. I can't imagine, like, that's like an old school board. It's not like they use...
Gorgeous. Legendary whiskey maker.
Or wooden surfboards anymore.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no. This would be just for looks, right?
Yeah. Like
put in your living room on a plaque or something. Glenn Moraine. Oh boy, I don't even know how to say it. And the woodworking gurus at Grand Surfboards teamed up to create something truly beautiful. The attraction of opposites is something amazing to witness firsthand. A balancing act that both parties play. The result is a harmonious symbiotic relationship, a yin yang kind of thing, because they're mixing whiskey barrels and surfboards. So. Pretty cool. They're beautiful boards. This I got from Adventure Sports Network, and I'll link the article to the blog, as well as hopefully throw it up on Facebook when I get a
sec. I'll bet it's still made to be used, or at least it could be used.
Yeah, the wood makes all the difference.
It's a beauty, though. I mean, it's a beauty. Look at that.
And then, you know, Tom's Shoes. Tom and So Ill. This is part of our Gear 30 segment. Created a limited edition climbing shoe line. So remember Toms and their trendy canvas slip-ons that took the world by storm a few years ago?
I got some Toms on.
Thanks. Todd is showing it off. This is from, according to Teton Gravity. Shoe company's recently cooking up something exciting and unexpected with a new collaborator, So Ill. Together, they've joined forces to support pro climber Kevin Jorgensen's nonprofit, One Climb, to make climbing more accessible in urban areas. So
we kind of talked about this last. Ill. Mine are just sort of ill.
Sort of ill. I don't see any climbing in those anytime soon.
No, these are not climbing Toms.
No. So Gear 30 segment. Use promo code OOA. Yes, OOA at checkout at gear30.com. Go to gear30.com. Use promo code OOA. Save. Do you remember how much?
It was like what?
12.
13%.
12%. 12% on your purchase. We've had people use it. So, they're why not?
Yeah,
I mean, you say all you got to do is type in OOA and you say get an extra 12% discount on your purchase at gear30.com. Now, right now, backpacks are on sale from up to 50% off too online. Osprey, Fjallraven, and Mystery Ranch. Online, go to gear30.com. And then
those brands are no joke, man.
They're no joke. They're beautiful. And guess what? Mystery Ranch, first time we carried them this year and they took off like... They sold really well. People are loving the Mystery Ranch. Fjallraven didn't do bad either. So all great brands, and you can get, because the season's over, and of course they update them every year, and so we do have to sort of ditch the last year's models and bring in the new ones, especially if they're updating them. Some of them that they don't change, we'll keep in the shop and for year-round sale, but the one that changes mostly, we just throw them up on the site, 50% off. And I believe the OOA discount is on top of that. So check that out. So there you go. Gear 30 segment. You got your surfboards made of whiskey casks and Toms and So Ill teamed up for a climbing shoe. Something worth reading. The death of Ogden local climber legend Jeff Lowe made the New York Times. The article is called Jeff Lowe, Pathfinder Up the Face of Mountains, is dead at 67. That is worth reading.
I saw you posted that. I didn't read it.
Yeah. Well, it's worth reading.
Not yet. Well, I know. Of course it's worth reading. I just haven't got to it yet.
I left the G off, so it's worth reading.
It's worth reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's the New York Times, it's reading.
You have to, read the New York Times articles very proper. I think
you have to sit up a little straighter.
Sit up, yes, and maybe like have your whiskey
drink it with
you
your coffee,
or
whiskey.
Yeah, because I'm reading the New York Times. Quote of the week: people do not lack strength; they lack will. That's for all you ex-terror racers. All the ex-terror racers out there, you don't lack strength, you lack will. Victor Hugo.
That's all we need is will.
Will was here
exactly.
earlier.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. See, you didn't even catch that. That's how it's a perfect quote. That's what's missing. That's the one thing
funny
that's
is because I looked forever for this quote and I totally missed that we were having will on. Yeah. And people, you don't need.
So read that again now, okay. Now knowing.
People do not lack strength. They lack will. Kelsey, the ex-terror racer. Like, that's what they're
missing.
Need
him
will.
On your team, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That is.
So listen to this show, and we'll give you a little will.
Thank you, Gear 30, for powering today's 316th episode of the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. Look for us on Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, The Banding Collective, and Podbean. Hey, chat with us if you have feedback for us or just want to say hi. At Ogden Adventure on Twitter or at Banyan Podcast also on Twitter. Now, sifting through hours of crappy music so that you don't have to. This week's Outdoor Jukebox, it's a little ditty called The Fish by an artist named Austin Kane. Really dig this song, of course. That's why hours of looking for good music and finally found this one. So, as John Muir would say, the mountains are calling and we must go.
Crash onto the beach. Wind, blow through the wind, blow through the torrent. Swim against the swim, against the current. I'm just a fish in a sea. I'm just a fish in a sea that won't let me swim free. Tide, take away tide, take away unrest. Sign, please don't you sign, please don't you say.